Rob, you're in trouble.
Log Talk Radio.
You can try to throw like little subtle jabs. Like,
fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Hit the pause. Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
That's right. Yeah. Let's go.
Turn it up.
I've been gone since late July. I've been acting like I died. Sorry.
Yes, sir. We are officially talking sports with the 12 men again this Sunday, June the 24th, and hanging with two of my fellas who, they could be my number one draft picks if you think about it, but, I don't know. We'll see. But, I ain't trading up, though. That's all I'm saying. It's all good.
Dang.
Yeah, it's all good.
We ain't worth trading up for? Dang. You hear what? Yeah. Okay.
That means that, the frozen envelope has some things.
Yeah, we see
too,
what you think about
good,
us,
man.
Hey.
No, man. That's frozen envelope, man. So we're good. Nah.
Body blow.
Man, welcome
body blow.
I'm just joking. It's all good. I had to
incorporate
the topic, what's been happening to it, all the good stuff, man. So we are talking sports with the 12 men. Let's check out with my fellas, man. I'm obviously Andre Peterson. Mr. JQ, how you feel this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. Like you, I'm tired. Been ripping and running. Excited to talk about these first couple topics for sure, because I will be at SunTrust tomorrow with the family for the Reds and the Braves.
Nice. That's what's up. Nice.
Yes, sir.
Is that a special with the noon special? That's regular. Is it regular like?
No,
it's 7 o'clock start. I gotta check it. Okay.
I ain't trying to go to no new game. It's gonna be 91 degrees.
Oh man. Yeah. I'm just asking the question. That's what's up. Everyone, we gotta be like JQ. Get some time in. Hang out with the fam, man. It's all good. Mr.
Yep.
Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, bro?
Man, the Reds, man. Swept the Cubs this weekend. Well, I guess we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Mr. JQ's got to be pretty excited about that. But everything's real. Everything's good. Ready to rock and roll. Talk some sports, fellas.
Let's rock and roll. As we always do, like you said, we're excited about topics. We got to recap a lot of things. But as always, and again, pretty excited to get some calls with you last week. So again, always reach out to you boys. Hit us up at the number, the 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12. THMAN Sports, and obviously follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us as well. And I'm just coming back from my trip from Vermont, folks. We're excited. A lot of things to discuss in New York, and, let's kind of kick it off, too. So, again, gentlemen, let's kick it right off the gate here. We talked about JQ's Reds, and, yeah, man, they're playing hot, bro. So what do you got to say about the Cubs and the Reds for that, JQ?
Oh, man, I love it because the Cubs fans are so obnoxious, and they was in there deep. And to sweep them out of Cincinnati, it's just a feeling that is real hard to put into words. But, the thing about it is the bats have started to come alive, but really outside of the day in the sweep, it's been the pitching. I believe the starters only gave up at most 3 runs in those first 3 games, and then you get a grand slam from your pitcher and just Scofini, and then Lorenzo hit a pinch hit home run today. Yeah, really crazy. The self-destruction in that Chicago bullpen, I mean, even if you look at them, they've got a great lineup, and their starters are decent. But if that bullpen don't get together, they're going to have a hard time come October baseball. But it's early, and it's not really early. It's mid-season form here, but the Reds dug themselves such a hole, it's going to be hard for them to get out. But just to be competitive, not to be a doormat when you play, the better teams in the league, and hopefully that happens this week when they come to Atlanta. Just to go out there and represent, it warms my heart to actually just see them playing baseball and not just like, oh, they lost again 10-3. You know what I mean? Like, they really just across the board, up and down that lineup. Bottle's starting to get hot again. Billy's on a 7-game hit streak within a 7-game win streak, so I don't know if that's some coincidence there for the Reds as well. But again, to me, it's been the pitching. Harvey, Castillo, and Scofini really with 3 quality starts Thursday through Saturday, and then they just were able to bail out Sal Romano today. With that 7th run, 7th inning. They got a tough road here. They started here with the Cubs. They go to the Atlanta, come to the Braves, and they go back home to the Brewers. So you're talking about first and second place teams in the National League. So, you know, it's you're going to see where they are and see how hot they really are, you know, through the rest of this week because it's going to be tough.
But, man, he was just feeling that, Rob. JQ, man, a couple months ago was kind of challenging. Now he's all about it. What's up, bro?
Hey, just be competitive.
Well, you got to give him credit. I mean, they're up to kind of playing up to respectability at least right now. I mean, sweeping the Cubs at home. I mean, yeah, I don't think anybody would have thought that going into this weekend. Obviously,
nope.
They're still in last place, but they got a chance to at least get out of the cellar here before the season's in. Cubs still holding out second place in the NL Central.
Nice.
They came back from five down today, too.
Seventh round, seventh inning, yeah. I mean, sometimes you get in a good groove. You get a little magic happening. I mean, again, they're not going to make the playoffs. They dug themselves too big of a hole. But don't be 15, 20 games under 500 at the end of the season. That's all I'm looking for. You know, show some progression of turning around and then maybe looking into next year. But, you know, I have no crazy dreams of pulling off, you know, a major league kind of comeback. That's just not happening.
Yeah. You got a pitcher. You hit a pinch hit home run.
Mm-hmm. Michael Rosen. Yep.
Yep. That's what we're talking about. Yep. All right. Good stuff, man. Hey, so again, a lot of love, man. It's good to see, like I said, JQ's talking about it warms his heart, man. So good job, Bredge, for, you know, again, showing some love, making JQ a little happy there. Let's talk about Orioles at Braves, man. And, you know, Orioles been playing well. The Braves have been, and then obviously they run into kind of a – we talk about certain teams that I don't know if they play down certain squads and, you know, they'll win against the top teams and they struggle against the lower teams, you know. So, it's one of those things, you know. But, again – I'm happy with, you know, in spite of, you know, some challenges here with the Orioles and, you know, they kind of have some come behind ways and some struggles here. But, again, what are your thoughts on the Orioles and the Braves, Rob?
Well, obviously, the first time the Braves beat the Orioles in 6 years, I mean, I thought that was incredible.
It's crazy.
To hear that stat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, Freeman and Swanson came up big today. Freeman with a two-run single in the first inning gave Atlanta the lead, never really looked back after that. Swanson added a pinch hit, two-run homer in the eighth, and the Braves hold on and win 5-3. And, you know, things are still looking good overall for your young Braves. They're still holding on to first place, still ahead of those Nationals and Phillies in the NL East.
Yeah, the Braves and the Phillies really not going anywhere to me is the story of that National League, because I thought both of those teams were a year away at the earliest. I thought Washington would really walk away. Maybe the Mets, they could have stayed healthy. But, just you know, it's good to see some teams. Well, not really because I don't like the Phillies. But, you know, to change with your perception with going into the season so you don't feel like it's a foregone conclusion. So those two teams really playing good baseball in the NL East. And the Braves, you hit on it, playing up and down to the competition. The Orioles are the worst team in baseball, I think, record-wise. And they let them come in, and that bullpen, the same problem that the Cubs had with the Reds is the same problem that the Braves had with the Orioles. That bullpen, you get a lead and then you blow it like that. It's just, you know, going to 15 innings the other day. These are those series that when you look back and you say, why didn't we win the division? Why are we in the wild card game? Or why didn't we make the wild card game by one or two games in both of those scenarios? These are the series that you look at. When you play bottom feeders, you've got to take advantage of it. I hope they don't continue it against the Reds. But if you're a Braves fan, you got to look at it like, man, we have – an opportunity over 6 days to play the Orioles and the Reds, who were in last place in both of their respective divisions, and we went 1-2 against the Orioles. Now you almost have to sweep the Reds to make it seem so much respectable when you looked at that coming into this week or 2 weeks of this coming up in this season. So if it happens that way for the Braves, they're going to rue that the fact that they've blown these leads, especially against a bad team like the Orioles.
Yeah. That's a good call. And then, like you said, you know, you see the Nationals making a move, picking up for Herrera. So, again, the Braves, they're kind of like seeing what they have, and I think eventually they're going to have to make a move, too, to kind of solidify that bullpen, as you said, too, JQ, man. So, again, you know, if we're making moves and we're trying to, like, be kind of that, you know, surprise thing, you know, I give Alex and Papas a quick shout-out because, again, I'm sure this is definitely ahead of the process, as you mentioned, too. So, you know, hopefully the Braves will realize, all right, we got to make a move here and, you know, see how we stand here as far as, you know, like you said, making – that next step too. So we're ahead of the process, man, but it's exciting to say the least. All right, gentlemen.
Process is on. Yeah, Kansas process. City, the only team that's worse than the Baltimore Orioles in baseball right now.
All right. Let's talk about the next thing. Obviously, NBA draft was last Thursday, and a lot of moves, a lot of things happened, some surprises, and I love this. Excuse me, guys. I'm a little sneezy there. So, let's talk about this. The topic here, we have Dante DiVincenzo Is he going to be the steal of the NBA draft? And this is interesting. So I'm going to let you take this, Rob, because I'm curious about this. Because, again, we'll talk about some picks here that I was thinking that the Hawks were going to pick, too. So this is interesting how now Mike Budenholzer, former coach of the Hawks, is right there. So this is interesting, too. So I'll let you handle this one, sir.
Well, I think he has an opportunity to be. I mean, you talk about a guy who prior to this last season in college basketball, we're talking about second round pick at best, or even going undrafted, or realistically, really going. You thought he was the kind of player that would come back to school. We didn't see this kind of rise out of Dante DiVincenzo going into this season. And he's a better athlete than you think, too. He's got great leaping ability, outstanding shooter. I mean, he's got good size. You saw him in the national championship game pretty much dominate. I think he definitely has an opportunity to be a pretty good steal. Kind of went very close to what I thought. I think my last mock, I had him going 18 to the Spurs. He wound up going 17, one pick ahead of that. So kind of like right in the ballpark there. But I definitely think he has an opportunity to really succeed. Like I said, number one, he can put the ball in the basket, and he's a very good athlete as well. I think the one area you want to see him improve in is on the defensive side of the basketball. And if he can get that down, I think he could very well be a steal. Michael Porter, obviously, is a guy that could be right there in the mix. You know, he's a risk or reward kind of player. You get him at 14 if you're the Denver Nuggets. And can he overcome the situation with his back? That's going to be really interesting. But there's a chance for a great reward there. And so it's probably a good spot where Denver took him. Zaire Smith at 16. I think he's another guy that has the potential to be a steal in this draft as well. Mikal Bridges, obviously at number 10, is another player that you think that could be somewhat of a steal as well. And also, last but not least, Lonnie Walker. You're talking about a player, if he wasn't coming off injuries, he would be a lottery pick, and the Spurs get him at 18. Tremendous athlete as well. He's another player that could really be a sleeper and a steal in this draft as well.
Yeah, he took a lot of mine. To circle back to the Michael Jordan of Delaware, because that's what they call DiVincenzo, though. That's just crazy. We talk about all the stuff, you talk about his attributes, and the one weakness he has is defensively. We talk about going to a fantastic spot where if you make a mistake, oh, you got the Greek Freak behind you to help clear that up a little bit. A great landing spot for him in terms of his game and the way that system with Budenholzer doesn't mess it up. You're talking about a Bledsoe and a Greek Freak and a Middleton. I'm not sure if Jabari Parker is going to be there in the plans long term. He could be trade bait, probably is. But they've got a good nucleus there as well, Brogdon. I think he went to a really good, you know, sometimes you want to go high and get that, you know, that big number next to your name in terms of where you win the draft. But sometimes it costs you a little money, but sometimes you go to a better situation. And I think for him, he's gone to a very, very good situation there. I'll just throw one other person in there. I love Phoenix's draft, getting Bridges in 8, and I really think they had the best draft. You walk away from this draft with a team that's struggling and pair him with Booker and Jackson. I think that's just a really good draft by Phoenix. I love also Indiana getting Holiday. You look at the way that team played Cleveland in the first round this year, and it's like what they really need. They just needed somebody else to take some of that backcourt pressure off Oladipo. Don't allow him to have to handle the ball every time and be the orchestrator and the finisher. You can kind of save some of his energy if Holiday can come in there, who's a really good shooter as well, tenacious. If he can come in there and take the reins of that young team and allow Oladipo to play a little bit more off the ball, I think that was just a fantastic pick by Indiana.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Good pick.
Yeah, man, that's some good stuff, too. And I love the fact that, you know, we talked about a couple of people that fell and, you know, some surprises, little things like that. And let's kind of talk about this. And this is an interesting point, too. So again, I want to kind of highlight when we talked about Michael Porter Jr. I know we'll talk about what's been happening, too, and whatnot, some winners and losers and Colin Sexton's comments and everything like that. But I do want to ask you guys, too. So you had a situation where you had Jerry West is now, if I'm not mistaken, he's part of the Clippers, right? Mm-hmm. They had two back-to-back picks, 12 and 13. And here you have a guy that – and this is interesting. This is an interesting commentary. You had a guy that knew how to spot talent. He had to spot Kobe Bryant, you know, grab Shaq. I mean, and he passes twice on Michael Porter Jr. And that's what somebody said, and I was like, wow, I didn't think about it like that, too. So that must be his injury is a little more serious than what we expect, because this guy doesn't miss on, like, getting talent, too. So I thought that was an interesting statement, because I was a Michael Porter fan. I was like, man, I thought this guy was going to be the man. But, you know, just, again, you keep hearing, you know, his injury concerns, and maybe it's a little more serious than what we thought, man. But, I mean, again, you know, if you're Denver, I mean, maybe it's a good situation for you. I mean, obviously, you wish the best for the kid, but just from that, you know, circumstance, I thought that was pretty interesting, too. So, you know, as far as Dante, good call as far as him. Like you said, I think he hit a perfect spot for him. Pretty interesting, too. I was reading an article, too, about the Bucks, and I thought they were going to be a little higher on Kevin Herter, who the Hawks ended up drafting. But, you know, that was a good surprise for me, because I was like, that was one team that I thought was going to grab him. But, you know, they went Dante, and you kind of wonder what Budenholzer was thinking, as you mentioned earlier, too, JQ, man. So, good call, man. I think, you know, if he plays well, man, it could be a good situation for him. It's not too much pressure, and he's got a good squad that kind of surrounds him, too. So, he's not on that, like you said, JQ, not on the bad team. But, he kind of grew and kind of developed and do his thing, man, too. So, pretty interesting as far as that. We'll add some thoughts to that, too. We'll also talk about Colin Sexton. Good comments. We're not sure if LeBron is going to come back, but I love how he shouted out and said, hey, let's make this happen too, man. So, again, great move for Cleveland, getting a solid, solid point guard. You know, obviously, you know, he's not saying that, you know, we don't know he's going to develop too, man. This is a good move for them. Ever since they kind of lost Kyrie Irving, they've been trying to find somebody, and the Isaiah Thomas experiment went bad. So, this is, I think, a good move for Cleveland, man. So, what are your thoughts about that, guys? Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, because if you watch Colin Sexton play, he just was an absolute beast. He's a dog. And, like, that Chris Paul, he's not real big. And you're like, how can somebody that small impact the game? But he's just tenacious, a very good defender. And also just can put the ball in the hoop. And at the end of the day, you got to score points in order to win games and in anything. So I like that pick for Cleveland there. When you're looking at it, go get somebody who, like you said, can he? I don't want to put that pressure on him to say he's Kyrie's replacement. You know, like saying, well, I don't like to put that pressure on Trae Young to say, is he the next Steph Curry? Like, let's let him just be Colin Sexton and Trae Young. You know what I mean? And let them not, you know, mark out their own careers in the NBA. But in terms of value on the board right there for him, I think that's one of the, to me, one of the safer picks that Cleveland had, is that we've seen Sexton play, took an Alabama team that nobody really know anything about, and got them to the tournament basically on his back. So I personally think it was a great pick for Cleveland. And if LeBron decides not to go, okay, now you're starting to build pieces for a team post-LeBron, and you say, okay, I got him. You try to reinvent Kevin Love a little bit. Listen, they're going to be probably maybe back in that situation again if LeBron leaves, because they don't have the financial flexibility, really, with the J.R. Smith and the Tristan Thompson contracts of the world to really go be aggressive in free agency. So they're going to have to go that building through the draft approach right now and get away from that, you know, go get free agents to try to please LeBron if he decides to leave, which I think we all think he's going to leave. So for me, that's, I thought it was a really good, just a solid pick for Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good job. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think it's a, you know, great pick, and I think JQ took the words, the same adjectives that I was going to describe Colin, is that he is a dog. I mean, he's a guy that's a fierce competitor. He's going to compete on both ends of the floor. And so you're getting a ball player that can not only score, but he's going to be a good defender too. As far as, you know, winning the East, I think Cleveland will need a lot more in order to win the East next year. And what I mean by that, if LeBron does come back, I still think they need something in addition to Colin. They're going to need – I still think they need another star on this team. And not just to get back to the finals. I think just to win the East, they will need another star next year. I mean, Boston, you know, we're assuming they're going to be healthy. And now you got the Tatum and Brown and Kyrie Irving and Gordon Haywood in the mix. They will need at least another star just to win the East. I know there's a lot of trade discussions right now with – And this is about the only way they can get better is by trades. I know there's some trade discussions about Kimball Walker. Not sure, you know, if Charlotte is buying or not, and what will Cleveland have to give up in order to get him. I mean, I'm assuming they'll have to send up a bunch of role players here or expiring contracts or something like that, which I don't think Cleveland has many expiring contracts as well. So it's going to be really interesting if they can pull off that trade for Kimball Walker. You know, I think that's, you know, about what it would take for them to at least win the East. I mean, I don't think that's a team that's good enough to beat the Warriors. But that's what they'll need to at least be able to compete with the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I think it's over. I agree with you. I just don't think it's available. I don't think anybody's going to go out of their way to help Cleveland get pair another star with LeBron, and they don't have anything you want unless it's Colin Sexton. And then it's like, okay, that's an addition by subtraction. Or, not a net zero, but you need Colin and that guy to come in to help LeBron. You know what I mean? And I don't think have the assets to make that happen. You leave out Philadelphia. I'm not quite sure what Philadelphia was doing in this draft. I didn't really like them trading Mikal Bridges. I thought that was a good fit for them. But still, with what they have, they get anything out of Fultz. You know, Fultz. I mean, you already see what Embiid and Simmons can do. I'm not sure they can get JJ back. But, I mean, they've got a good nucleus there as well. And we touched on Milwaukee. If they can take the step forward, how much does Dante help them? So I agree with you. That East is going to be loaded. I think that's why LeBron is gone. They just don't have the flexibility cash-wise or asset-wise to bring that guy there unless they just hoodwink somebody in the trade.
Hey, you know what, Philadelphia here, a sneaky move by them trading Mikal Bridges the 10th pick and getting Zaire Smith the 16th pick. That saves them $1 million in cap space. It doesn't sound like a whole lot, but it gives them little extra flexibility to make an offer for LeBron James. And Zaire Smith has an opportunity to be a real steal in this draft, too. I said that prior to the draft. I'm still saying it now. Very good athlete who will compete on both ends of the floor as well. I know Mikal Bridges, being from Villanova right there in Philadelphia, was a guy that fans would love to have. But a very sneaky move by the Sixers, making that trade going from 10 to 16, they save $1 million of cap space. Gives them a little extra flexibility to make a move for LeBron. And like I said, Zaire Smith is going to be a real, real sleeper in this draft.
Yeah.
And they probably saw who was Mikal at the draft and was like, yeah, bro, you don't make good decisions.
His mom's there. That was crazy. Yeah, it's all good. That was funny. That was funny, too. That was hilarious. Hey, guys, let's talk about – I know we're going to talk about winners and losers, and we'll let Rob handle this. But I was cracking up, bro, whenever the Knicks fans were booing Kevin Knox, man. I love the fact that they're like, oh, here's the next superstar, because they booed Porzingis, man. So, again, maybe that's the thing, man. But Kevin Knox, man, I'd love to hear your thoughts about him, Rob, as we move forward, too. But let's get some winners and losers and kind of keep it going, too, Rob. So go ahead, bro.
Well, when you look at Kevin Knox, I don't think I would have picked him ahead of Mikal Bridges right there. But he's a guy that still has a lot of upside. He's very strong.
Okay,
he can really shoot the basketball from the outside. what's that?
I said, all right, Jay Billis. You're going to talk about his length and his wingspan?
But I would say, other than taking him ahead of Mikal Bridges, I think, he's got a potential to be a very good pro in the NBA. I would have took Mikal Bridges there. I think Bridges at this stage is a little bit more polished, but, he's a couple years older than Knox, too. And so the Knicks may be looking at the potential standpoint, but Bridges is a really good defender. He can really shoot the basketball. And I think Bridges has a chance to be a Kawhi Leonard kind of player. I know that's a big reach, but he has a chance to be that type of ball player if he reaches his ceiling. Mikal Bridges could be that kind of player. But other than that, I don't think it was a huge reach for the Knicks. I had Knox going 11. They took him 9. And like I said, as far as players on the board, Michael Porter obviously had a big concern with injury, so you can't say –
big concern
that they could have took him over him, but I think the only guy they probably reached to take Knox, it was reaching over to take Mikal Bridges.
I would agree with that.
Sorry,
Andre, what'd you say?
I said winners and losers really quickly here is what we're talking about too. So yeah.
Well, JQ already mentioned that the Phoenix Suns obviously are the winners of this draft. I mean, you come out of here and get Ayton and Mikal Bridges. Ayton and Bridges, I'm sorry. And you come out, in my opinion, those are two of the top 8 players in the draft. And to come out and get those two guys, and then, you pair them with a Booker here, and Jackson really started to come on after a really rough start to the rookie season. He really came on last month of the year. As well. So you got to hope that there's a potential for, a solid future here going forward. with the Phoenix Suns here. So I think you have to say that they are the real winner in this draft. Sacramento just did what they were supposed to, getting Marvin Bagley at number two, which I think also he has a ton of potential to being one of those really good stretch floors. He's got to get better on the defensive end, but he's a guy that can really score. And, you know, he's like I say, he's going to be a really good stretch forward. There's a lot of depth in this draft, so you're going to see a lot of really good players come out of this draft. And Marvin Bagley's got a chance to be a real stud in this league for a long time. I like what Dallas did, even though they gave up a first-round pick. Getting Luka Doncic, I think moving up for them was a really good pick. And I think he's a guy that could be a really good player going forward. And other than a slight reach by the Hawks for Trae Young, I really like their picks of Kevin Huerter and Omari Spellman. Spellman, you're talking about a guy who was a top-five recruit coming out of high school. He was a five-star recruit. He's got good size. He can really step out and shoot the basketball. Obviously, he was a redshirt freshman for Villanova last season, so he's got a little bit of championship pedigree as well. Getting him at the 30 spot, I thought was really solid. So, I mean, I thought it was a slight reach getting Trae Young there, but at least they traded back for and got a first-round pick. And and then their next two first-round picks were really good picks, in my opinion. And so I really like what the Atlanta Hawks did right there. And they obviously can build around John Collins and Taurean Prince as well. But ultimately, I think the Suns are the big winners in this draft as well. And also, the Suns got Eli Okobo, and he's a guy I thought was a first-round talent. They got him at number 31 in the second round. So he could be really steal at the point guard position, point guard from France as well. I mean, you're talking about a 6'2 player. He's got a 6'8", 6'9 wingspan. He can really defend already. And he can really score the basketball, too, at his age. Yeah, so you're talking about a guy that could probably come in and help him right away. We talk about some losers here. I mean, you can get on the Knicks a little bit about taking Kevin Knox ahead of Mikal Bridges. So I'm going to put them slightly in the losing category as well. And obviously, they got Mitchell Robinson at 36. That has a potential of being a really steal player. He's got great athleticism. He's 7 feet tall. He can really run the floor. He's a guy I actually had going late in the first round. So to get him at 36 is not bad. And, you know, we talked about, I think the 76ers is a team that a lot of people has as a loser. But like I said, they get some cap flexibility. They save $1 million. And I really like the pick of Zaire Smith, who I think is going to be a really good player. So I know a lot of people have the Sixers as a in the losing category. I do not. I'm not going to categorize him as a winner. The only way I would put him as a winner if they get LeBron James. But I don't think it's as bad as I don't think it's as bad as what a lot of the experts are saying, in my opinion, you know, giving up Mikal Bridges. Obviously, another loser is Michael Porter Jr. here in his draft for the way he failed in his draft. You talk about a player going into the season you thought was going to be a top two pick in the draft, and he falls all the way to 14. That's a big loss for Michael Porter Jr. In this draft. But I think the Nuggets, good risk for a reward right where they took him at the 14 position. But obviously it's a loss loss for Michael Porter Jr. Washington Wizards, I put them down as a loser pick. And, I thought they slightly reached for Troy Brown where they took him. Obviously, Dante DiVincenzo and Zaire Smith was on the board, as well as Lonnie Walker at the 15th pick. So I think the Wizards had a reach, and I would definitely put them in the losers category as well. Winner, you got to like Lonnie Walker. Like I said, he's a lottery talent. And so you got to give the Spurs a lot of credit here with getting him where they were able to get him. And like I said, if he's healthy, you're talking about a lottery talent, Lonnie Walker. And the Spurs, I think, made a very, very wise decision in taking him at the spot that they did. And I think that's all I have. That's a lot.
I was going to say, hey, Jay, I just wait on you. Okay.
Yeah, I talked about the Pacers with Holiday earlier, and the other points that Rob made, I would agree with that. To me, there's another loser, and I didn't understand Portland getting Anthony Simmons right there when you already have your backcourt supposedly set. Like you said, we talked about in the chat, anything between the 3 and the 5 is what they needed. You go with somebody that hasn't played, and you get redundant in the backcourt. You need to get bigger and more skilled out on the wings. I really didn't understand that from Portland's standpoint. I really didn't. So I add them to the loser category to the other ones that Rob talked about.
That's true.
I just didn't get that. And then for the winners, you know, just a little deeper, Robert Williams, again, why they would let Boston get a rim runner so they can pair him with those other young guys they have, and they're just going to be super dynamic and just athletic and just be able to run up and down the court. I don't understand. I really didn't understand the Lakers not doing that when you can let Lopez go and take him. And like you said, all I'm wanting is save some money as well. I just didn't get that from the Lakers standpoint, why you let him go to Boston. They're going to rue that, I think. And the other one, I know I'm a homer, and I'm a full-fledged homer, but allowing Golden State to get Jacob Evans, and it doesn't seem like it's a whole lot but that late in the draft, but he's somebody that does exactly what they want to do. He can play defense out on the perimeter. He can shoot the three-point shot. So if they ever have to cut somewhere else in terms of budget, you've got him on a rookie deal. That is back in the draft. Those are why those teams are good, because they do a good job of signing, but they do a good job of drafting and building through the draft, both of those teams.
Yep.
So I hate to say it, but I really like by Boston and by Golden State, respectively.
Yep. Good call. Yeah, just
we talked about the 76ers, too. Landry Shamet, I tell you, the guard from Wichita State, I think is a real sleeper, too.
Yep.
Yeah,
I love it.
Combo guard that can defend. the Sixers. I think that's a really good pick for them as well.
13 minutes here. We're moving right along. Everything's good, man. I just want to talk really briefly too about the Hawks too, man. Because again, it's tough to classify winners. I mean, I agree with you guys as far as winners and Phoenix over there too. I just want to say it because again. It was interesting because at first I was thinking, man, you know, I really didn't know where they're going to go. I thought earlier in the day it was going to be like Luka Doncic was the answer, but that's the guy we're going to get. I really didn't want them to take Trae Young. I was like, man, because I, you know, again, I just didn't know. I mean, not that high because, you know, you got to, like, hit a home run. So then, again, as you kind of warm up to it, you realize whenever they made the move down and you're thinking this is happening, and I'm like, all right, I kind of see where they're going. And then I knew that they were going to get Herter. So I heard some rumors they're going to try to make themselves have some shooters, man. So, I mean, it's here. I know the comparisons that Steph Curry, as you said, JQ, that's a tough one. Even though they're kind of comparing him to more like Steve Nash is one of his favorite players too. So if you're anything like that, then that's definitely, you know, like you said, not going to say that, but that's a good aspiration to have too, man. So again, the only thing I'll say about that is at least we have a little bit more excitement from that perspective, and we definitely got some shooters, man. So again, I'm just excited to see that perspective too, man. So, you know, I don't know if it's right, but at least you swung for the fences and, you know, at least you got some offense. And we'll see how that plays out, man. So that's
you
what I'm going to say about that, too.
You
and
you said the word.
Exactly.
Excitement. And I'm sorry, but you said the word. And when you brought it up, that was when I talked to other fans here, Hawks fans, and they asked me what I thought about the draft. I was like, he's going to always be compared to Doncic now because you gave him up to get Trae Young. So fairly or unfairly, they're going to be tied at the hip for their NBA career for a little while, probably forever, really. But again, excitement back in Atlanta. He may full on be a bust, but he has that element that you have to pick him up at half court. He's going to bring some excitement to Phillips Arena, so you got to love that. And I want to say that a lot of Atlanta's new front office, or at least the decision makers, came from Golden State. So if you look at what they did draft wise in terms of getting Trae Young and getting shooters, and spreading it out, you can see what they're trying to do. Not that those guys are going to live up to what they did and guys are doing in Golden State. That's just too tough of a comparison.
Too much.
To put on them. But, you know, if I was a Hawks fan, I would feel like, okay, at least we had a direction. We had a game plan. We executed it. We got shooters.
Yeah.
We put some excitement back in there. We may not win a ton of games, but we're not going to be a doormat either. We're going to make it exciting. We're going to make it hard to come win in Phillips. It's going to be hard for you to beat us when we come on the road to your arena as well. So I'll give Atlanta in that aspect. I will give them credit for having a game plan and executing it pretty well. And picking up
100%.
Another first-round pick, like Rob said.
100%. And I know that
one thing, Trae Young,
in the video,
definitely shoot the basketball. He's a really good passer. You just have to wonder what kind of effect or liability he is going to have on the defensive end.
Yeah.
And that was
the
one area where Colin Sexton had over him. Colin Sexton, not as good a shooter as Trae Young is, He probably can get to the rack better than Trae Young, but he's got Trae Young on the defensive side of the basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that, too, because, again, like you said, you nailed it on the head because Lloyd Pierce was actually there whenever he was for Golden State. He was actually in Klay Thompson's workout. So, you know, again, that's kind of curious to hear. Like, if he's back, like, hey, maybe they wanted to get that same type of offense, man. So, again, you got the defensive side covered. And now let's just draft some offense, and maybe we'll talk about the 2019 draft, too, and see what's up for that, too. But very excited for that breakdown, too. Really quickly, the losers. I'm gonna
when you look at the three players that they took, you know, not to say they're going to be as good as these guys, but Trae Young, obviously, people think is going to be a poor man. Steph Curry, Kevin Huerter, maybe a poor man's Klay Thompson, and Amari Spellman, maybe a poor man's
Draymond Green. Yep, 100%. Yep, we saw that. We're like, wait a minute. I see you. So.
The Spellman can shoot the three-pointer. He's 6'9". You know, he's got a big body. He can step out and hit the three. He can handle the basketball a little bit, too.
Crazy.
Good game plan.
Crazy. Because that's why I'm kind of – no, I was saying when I saw the pick and, you know, the Hawks guy, there's a piece of his website. He was not a fan of any of the picks. You can tell he was just dejected. He was like, Luka Doncic, you can tell he was upset. And we're like, dude, actually, it's kind of interesting how they made these picks. But, you know, I'm not going to spend too much time on that, too. But we'll see. Excited about Summer League and stuff like that. And just really quickly, the losers is Shai Gilgeous for wearing that outfit. Anyway, we'll talk about that moving forward here as well here, man. So I said it's other dinner, too, man. So that's some craziness, man. So,
how they dress up in Canada.
I'm totally joking, man. I was almost going to say Trae Young, but at least he had a decent kind of match. But that was kind of crazy too. But all right, guys, let's talk about some predictions here about the offseason too. Because now that the draft is over, the dust has settled here, and there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of things that actually can come into fruition here. And Rob, just kind of tell me your thoughts, man, about what you think is about happening. You know, definitely in kind of the off season here, what's going to happen here, and what you think as far as what's going to happen for the summer here?
Well, I don't know if I have any. I'll be honest, you know, putting this topic in, I don't even think I have any predictions because I don't know really what's going to happen. But
Oh my goodness!
I really don't. And I mean, but it's going to be a really interesting off season, and I will at least say that. Obviously, we're going to figure out what's going to happen with LeBron James. We're going to figure out what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard. And now there's Chris Paul situation of his contract in Houston. I don't think it's a given. I think he winds up back in Houston. But, you know, there's a chance for somebody to sneak in and grab him because, you know, you got a new owner. At the time when the Rockets made the move for Chris Paul, the other owner promised that they'll give him a max deal. Now we got a new owner who's looking at him as, Chris Paul is a little bit injury prone. He's 33, 34 years old. Do we want to give him a super max deal? And so now, you know, Chris Paul is kind of griping a little bit as the Rockets are being a little smart right now, trying to decide if they want to give Chris Paul a super max deal or not here. So that's going to be an interesting situation to watch right now. Obviously, we just saw that Carmelo Anthony opt in to stay with the Thunder. Obviously, it was smart on his part because nobody's going to go out and give him $27.9 million this offseason. So he opts in, so he's going to get that money now. So now it's going to be interesting to see if the Thunder is able to move him. And I think the Thunder desperately wants to get him off of that team. But, obviously a smart move by him because nobody in the free agency market was going to give him that kind of money. And then we got the Paul George effect, too. And nobody's going to go out there and buy Paul George sneakers. But he's still gonna be a heck of a ball player. For somebody's team.
You just gotta
throw that in.
go ahead, man.
So we got that effect, and then we got Kimber Walker is also possibly on the move. Who's a friend? Who's been made to the All Star? He's been voted in as an All Star. So he's that fringe kind of All Star kind of player. And, you know, we talked about Cleveland with Kemba Walker, but the Lakers are also in the mix, too, with Kemba Walker. So that's going to be interesting to watch, too. So the Lakers are going to be in the mix. But I think ultimately with predictions, I think the Lakers come out of this free agency with two all-stars. I don't know who the two is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be Kemba Walker and Paul George. Is it going to be LeBron James and Paul George? Is it going to be Kemba Walker and Kawhi Leonard? Is it going to be LeBron and Kawhi? I don't know what the combination of the two stars are going to be, but I think ultimately the Lakers come out of this free agency with two all-stars. And I think that may be the one prediction that I have, you know, what happens this offseason.
Yeah, you know, I would jump for joy if that happens, but I don't think it's Kawhi. And I understand San Antonio. You're not going to try to help another fan base, another team get better by giving you another your best player in your conference when you already have to deal with the Warriors and the Rockets if they sign Chris Paul. So I understand that. It's just going to be interesting to see how willing they're willing to get back and say, okay, at least we got 30 cents on the dollar, because if he's dead set on leaving, we're going to get him for 0 cents on the dollar. So they, when they do that, they kill some of the leverage, because if I'm an Eastern Conference team, I'm not going to give a whole lot of pieces for Kawhi Leonard for a year rental or a half-year rental. And he's already saying, expressing interest in already going to L.A. You know, you can work on him while he's there and feel like, you know, if I get him in the building, I can convince him to stay. But that's a very hard deal to make. It's very risky. So for me, I think Kawhi stays in San Antonio. I think they still have leverage for right now. They don't have to make a deal tomorrow, because that's not when the trade deadline is. They can work on that relationship and still kind of, you know, field the best offer. So I think for the offseason, he stays put. And then everything else, that Chris Paul piece is very interesting, because do you not resign Chris Paul and say, hey, LeBron, we still got James Harden. You know, you can come here and still have a really good team if they resign Capella as well and can keep some of the other free agents. So that Houston situation bears a lot. But I ultimately think that if they look themselves in the mirror and say, you know, he got hurt, but we had Golden State on the ropes. We went to Game 7, and we could have won that series if we had a healthy Chris Paul. I think at the end of the day, if they can get some of their egos out of the way, that will come to the forefront. Like, we were on the doorstep right there. Let's at least run this thing back and see if we can try to do it again. They're going to have to negotiate with him, because I don't believe in giving Chris Paul that kind of money at his age, because by the time he's 37 in that contract, it's not going to be worth it to the Rockets. For right now, yes. But for year four or five, no, it's not going to be. And again, it comes down to LeBron. I read a story that he's already on the phone calling other players, trying to, you know, work out who's going to go where and if they're willing to go to this city or whatever and team up to play with him. So I can't really give you a full, you know, kind of guess on what's going to happen with him. I think there's just too many balls in the air, like you mentioned with Paul George. If there was one I had to say, I would say that I think that with that happening, Carmelo forced Oklahoma City's hand. They either try to negotiate a buyout to where he can agree to a little less money but not all the way down and still get a little more than he would have made on the open market, but not the full 27.9. Or they may use, you know, the wave and stretch over and take that hit and pull it over 3 or 4 years so they don't take that blow right in 1 year. But I just don't think Carmelo stays and goes in Oklahoma City, excuse me, and during this offseason. I think he's on the move some way, somehow.
Now, all interesting right. Also.
Hold that. Hey, Rob. Hold that thought, Rob. Because we're like 2 minutes. Let's go ahead to the OT portion and keep it going. We've got 2 minutes here, so go ahead and set that up, and we'll go from there. Go ahead.
Sorry
to cut you off. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have more basketball talk and even some football talk here in our OT portion, so you don't want to miss it. Click on the same link on tomorrow or any day this week and hear the rest of our conversations. We even got some sneak peeks into the drafts for the NBA and the NFL for 2019. And also, we got some current NBA and some current NFL to talk about here that we're going to give you into our OT portion. So once again, click on the same link any day this week, and you can get that information. Unfortunately, we can't give you the rest of that information live. Next week, we'll be back on air Sunday night, same time, same channel. We'll be on 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our friends out in Las Vegas and the Bay Area, Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland. Make sure you guys tuning in out there on the West
Sacramento.
Coast. It's definitely early enough for you. Yeah. You know, JQ claims nobody wants, no black people want to live in Sacramento, but, you know, it's.
Hey, listen. I'll ask you if you got a chance.
Kevin
to Sacramento,
Johnson
Atlanta.
Is the mayor out there still, isn't he?
Yeah, but listen, a young black dude with money, Sacramento, Atlanta, no contest. Go ahead.
That's Marvin Bagley.
Yeah.
Chris Webber, you see, he had to drive to Oakland to get soul food. Sacramento,
yeah,
y'all gotta rise up, man. You gotta show us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway,
hey,
Sacramento, thanks for tuning in. Don't let JQ stop y'all from listening to our show. Definitely tune in and listen to Talking Sports with the 12 Man. Listen to us live on next Sunday night. Listen to our OT portion all through the week. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate all y'all. I'm just messing with y'all, Sacramento. But y'all, you know I'm right. And come on, I need y'all. I need y'all to be respectful here in Atlanta because everybody knows I'm a Reds fan. I need at least one win. I'm not going to be over the top.
Gosh.
I'm not asking for no sweep. I just need one win. I cannot get swept Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. Come on, Cincinnati. Please help a brother out. Good night, good people.
Win a red shirt every day this week?
Hey, man, I got a different one for every game.
Hey, you can pull out that Joe Morgan, that Pete Rose.
Oh, hey, listen, I'm going to go deep into the well. A couple of Griffies, all kind of stuff.
Rob Dibble. Ooh.
Nice.
No, I ain't got a different
Senior,
one.
Nice.
I'll pull out the prayers, though.
Randy Myers.
Oh, yeah, you went way to the nasty boys. Come on, let's go back to basketball. Go
Johnny Bench.
Yeah.
Oh, you know
my gosh.
I got Johnny Bench on deck.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. Finish your thought.
Yeah,
right,
go ahead. Finish your thought on the basketball. You already say something about Oklahoma City, I believe.
Oh, you know, we're talking about buyout with what's the guy name in Oklahoma City? One of the defense. Oh, Carmelo Anthony. Yeah. yeah. We're talking about Carmelo Anthony with a buyout situation. Can Dwight Howard still help a championship team? You all heard that he just got traded to Brooklyn. Brooklyn is going to negotiate a buyout in July. So he will be a free agent. He's going to get a lot of money in his buyout. Will he take a pay cut to go try to help a championship team? And can he still help a championship team? Dwight Howard at one time was a very dominant player. He's not that player anymore. But can he still help a team get over the hump?
He had a 30-30 game this last year against Atlanta, didn't he?
Yeah, that
I think
was
he
the
did.
One
I think
game.
He had a 30-point, 30-rebound game. Yeah, but, I mean, the flashes are there. You know, he's not a 35-minute-a-game, you know, record like he was like Rossman. When he wants
can
to,
he
he's
be
turning
a
12-12
guy with a couple of blocks? Is that enough to help a team get over the hump?
It is. I truly think it is. And that's an interesting question. You know, we talked about him, a team like, say, Milwaukee. I don't know if he wants to go to Milwaukee, but you add him to that. I don't know if that's a good locker room for him, so I take that back. He's going to need a strong locker room where they can rein him in. And you're like, hey, okay, all that goofy shit you got going on, like it's all well and good every now and again, but you got to stop that. We're here to win ball games and try to get this championship. He's going to need that. So he needs a real specific situation for himself in order to achieve.
But does he quietly team up with a LeBron and another star? Is that enough to get them in contention? He, like I said, he's going to get a lot of money from the buyout. Does he take a big cut here to sign with someone because of the money he's going to get from the buyout here to help a team get over the hump? Does he and LeBron go to a team like Philadelphia, even though Philly's got Joel Embiid? I can't see him going back to Houston if LeBron decided to go there, but I can't see him going back to the Lakers either. But if Cleveland gets Kemba Walker, are they able to squeeze him in with the mid-level exception?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's an option.
Yeah,
I heard that
could be a good man too. Probably the only weakness.
Yep. Yeah, it is. That could be an option, which is crazy. But yeah, that'd be. Anyway, all good.
He's got to wait though. Real fast on Dwight Howard. He's got to wait though because he's got to wait on the Capella market to materialize and be finalized because Capella's going to be the number one center rim runner out there to be signed if Houston can't re-sign him or if they do. But I don't think the Dwight Howard's market, outside of Golden State, I think he goes to Golden State, like, for sure. He's going to view it as the easy ring. And I can see Dwight Howard going, doom, and not wait on anything else. But if that doesn't happen, I think he's got to wait on the Capella market to go ahead and settle before he goes anywhere, unless LeBron convinces him. I don't think LeBron wants Dwight Howard, to be quite honest with you. I don't. I think those LeBrons and the Kobe's, based off what Kobe said about him, I just don't know. Yeah, I don't think they view him at that level.
Gotcha. Really quickly, you were talking about uniforms, JQ. I love the Braves uniforms that they play at the Orioles. Man, that's my old throwback to Hank Aaron time. That's my uniform
right
there.
Nice.
I got to get those, man. Yeah, man, that's me, man. So, anyway, just wanted to say that, too. That's one of my favorite spots as well, too. All right, here we go. Good calls on that, too. It's crazy to think what's going to happen, like you talked about, as far as Dwight Howard, man. That dude is just locker room. He's a strong locker room, 100%, man. And like I said, just Chris Paul, man. Chris Paul's going to sit back and kind of survey and see what happens, man. And let's say Chris Paul says, hey, you know, I'm not saying it's going to 100% happen. We'll say he looks at, hey, Lakers are a good opportunity. But there's a lot of moving pieces, man. Kemba Walker move, like we talked about that with, you know, obviously that's another piece with Cleveland. So, again, a lot of interesting pieces, and I know Robbie said you can't really predict it because it's just crazy, but there's going to be some players kind of sitting back and seeing what's happened, and then they're kind of pick and choose where they want to go to as far as what moves that there looks best for their situation as well, too.
One thing
really
I can guarantee that if Houston and Chris Paul fall out of favor, LeBron would not go play with Kevin Durant without Chris Paul. I'm sorry, James Harden without Chris Paul. First of all, he and Chris Paul are really good friends, and if he see that organization mistreat him, he's not going to go to Houston. He's not going to go to Houston to play with James Harden without Chris Paul.
Yep,
good point.
What was I going to say? Rob, let's talk about moving into – I know we – good job you again putting the 2019 NBA mock draft again. And, you know, just curious about this, so let's kind of get a preview here because you know, obviously, I'm loving that the Hawks may have some opportunities too. And I want to talk about the first player here. He's going to Duke, R.J. Barrett. Your thoughts about him? And then also, you guys, you can chime on this too, JQ. There's a guy by the name of Zion Williamson. You know, again, 6'6" guy. You know, he's kind of a center, but he's a short center. So you kind of curious as far as again how this is even possible. But you know, him, Nasir Little. There's a couple of guys that. Are kind of up as far as, you know, what do you think about the next year? You know, really interesting draft going. I mean, some superstars possibly in next year's draft. So go ahead, Rob, set us up too and tell your thoughts about that too.
Well, let's talk about the top four guys here. And they're all are slashers. They're all
slashers.
Are wingmen, you know, 6'6", 6'7", guys that are all really good athletes. And when you talk about R.J. Barrett, he's from Canada. Going to the hated Duke Blue Devil Nation, a guy that's a really good athlete and a guy that can really shoot the basketball. And so we know who the starting wings are going to be for Duke next year. It's going to be R.J. Barrett, Cameron Reddish. Both of these guys have a chance to be the number one pick in the draft. I mean, that is insane. And they're going to have them both on the wings. You know, they'll be the two wing guys next year for the Duke Blue Devils. Nasir Little, also MVP of the McDonald's All-American game, going to North Carolina. The only reason I have Barrett and Reddish ahead of him, they're slightly better shooters at this stage than Little. Obviously, Little can get to the basket with ease. We're talking about a guy who's a high riser, a really good athlete. He's not quite as good a shooter as Barrett and Reddish is at the moment, but if he can get there with his shot, he also has an opportunity to be the number one pick. We saw him, like I said, he shined in the McDonald's All-American game, was the all-star of that game. And he really, out of all of these guys, he's the one that has risen the most in the senior year in high school. Andre mentioned Zion Williamson. I have him going number seven. He's a guy that's also your best hope for a player like him is if he turned out to be a Grandma Ma kind of player. Larry Johnson. So he's got that kind of girth. He's got that kind of strength. And he's in that 6'6", six. You might can say he's 6'7". He's going to have to be a grandma ball, a mile round of rebound kind of player, Charles Barkley, to get by with that. But a tremendous athlete. So you got to give him credit. Mm-hmm. Even though he's a tremendous athlete, you know, he's a YouTube sensation with dunk contests and the way he dunks the basketball. Mm-hmm. And Duke will probably play him at the power forward spot, and you're going to have to because of Barrett and Reddish on the wings. But, you know, he's going to probably play the power forward spot. But I think in the NBA is going to want to see him transition to being a small forward for the most part, or he'll have to be a power forward guy that come off the bench. Or you never know. He could probably blossom into being a player like what's that punk that played for the Warriors? Draymond Green, him. Or you want to turn out to be, a player like that as well, possibly as well as Zion Williamson. But also, Sekou Doumbouya, swingman from France, too, is another guy, 6'9", long arms, really good athlete,
good job,
too.
Bob.
And so you look at these guys in the top four of this draft here. They're all swingmen that are really good athletes. And so that's what you're going to have to look forward to in next year's draft. If you're looking for an athletic wing, you're going to be loaded next year's draft. Romeo Langford, shooting guard, he's going to be a freshman next year for Indiana as well. A guy that can straight up shoot the basketball, 6'5", solid athlete, missed the basketball in Indiana. DeAndre Hunter, you saw him get hurt in the NCAA tournament for Virginia, and obviously they didn't look like the same team. And weren't they the first team to lose against the 16 seed this year?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he
mm-hmm.
was a big reason why. They didn't have him in the NCAA tournament, and that was a big blow for Virginia. But he's going to be a guy that can also really be a sleeper in the draft next year. We got another guard from Davidson that could be in the top 10 of the draft next year, Kellen Grady, one of the top scorers in college basketball last year as well. He'll be in the mix. Daniel Gafford, big man, 6'11", from Arkansas. A guy who was one of the top block shots, led the country in one of the top shot blockers in the country on last year. And even though UCLA had Aaron Holiday, Jalen Hands, they're not going to miss a beat at the point guard position. So they're going to be very good at the point guard position. And once again, he was backing up Aaron Holiday this past year. And a lot of times they were on the court at the same times. But he's going to really, really shine now. It's his operation now to run. Bo. Manu Bowles' son from Oregon. So watch him. He can really shoot the basketball, unlike his dad. He can really step out and knock down three-pointers. So you know, a really sleeper basketball player as well at his size. Jonte Porter, we know Michael Porter's
That's
brother
crazy.
As well. Obviously, I'm going to 14. Quentin Grimes, the guard from Kansas. He's a guy that could, even though I have him at right now, number 13, he could be really a guy that gets in the top 8, too, maybe even the top 5. He could be that type of point guard that could really run the show, about 6'4", 6'5". So he's a guy that has an opportunity to move up in this year's draft as well. I'll kind of end it with that.
Yeah, my
And for our listeners, I'll post this on our Talking Sports site.
Yeah, I mean, you did a good job covering that. For me, it's Ian Williams. When you talk about him and his YouTube sensation, all those guys you mentioned him with about comparisons, none of them have the bounce that he has. He has a Vince Carter kind of bounce to his game. Not a really good shooter, but just athletic freak of nature. He's somebody that I think, you know, seven is not like it's a low, but he's going to put it up, all, you know, stay healthy, especially with not having the focal point of the other two guys we talked about from Duke. He's going to put up a show this year, and I can see him rising up, you know, maybe artificially just based off the excitement, but you're talking about somebody that just is a thrill anytime he touches the ball. He is ridiculous. And I hate it for Duke because it's Duke. But, man, they're going to be hard to beat next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they had a lot of studs that went in the first round this year, too.
Yeah.
So they were loaded. But, yeah, next year.
But not with the freaks.
Yeah. This next year they could really have three top 10 players.
Yeah, they got – it's just a different kind of guy that they got, you know. I mean, like, we like Bagley and Carter. We don't like Grayson, but he went. And we talked about a great pick by Utah for them, just perfect for what they love to do, just to irritate them because of food. But what Duke is going to do in terms of transition, in terms of style of play, in terms of being – you know, they're still going to shoot the ball, but, you know, having those big guys you can throw it down there into, they are, like you said, slashing. They're going to be coming at you going 100 miles an hour if Mike turns them loose like he should. They're just going to have a different kind of attack than you normally used to seeing from a Duke team. They're going to be a little scary if they jail.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Duke is one of those teams I hate in sports.
Yeah. All good. All right, gentlemen, that was fantastic. So, again, NBA, we're going to wrap it up. We'll connect and we'll get ready for Summer League and get some highlights as far as that, too. But excited about that and it's good, man. So let's kind of transition here. We talk about some NBA – or, excuse me, NFL.
July 1st, the big day, the NBA offseason.
Yeah, 100%. Yep, a lot of things happen, a lot of moves, a lot of people – yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that, too. All right, let's talk about some moves here NFL-wise, and we're not going to cut this off. Lady, I'm not going to let her cut us off again, man, so hopefully we get to these topics pretty quickly here. Let's talk about Dak Prescott here, and again – is he better off without Dez Bryant? Now, obviously, I know how Robert's going to talk about the Cowgirls here, if you will. And I'm going to come off the rip. Well, I know.
You've
known you. But I'm gonna literally come off the cuff and say yes, because again, just from what we talked about earlier, Zach, you know, he kind of had some little chinks in his armor, and we knew that was gonna have to go into a sophomore season, that everyone's gonna kind of like key on him. Didn't help to have Ezekiel Elliott out, and you kind of wanted to make Dak beat you, and you clearly saw that he was not prepared, and then you needed that veteran guy to come through, and then Desmond did. He made a lot of mistakes, dropped the ball, just wasn't that dude, man. So, again, that's why they have gone a different direction. So I think it's a better move for Dak, obviously, and it's a learning experience too. So I'm just going to come off the cuff and say, yes, he is better off without Dez Bryant at this juncture, and that headache of a distraction too. So what say you, JQ, on this situation?
Oh, I don't think you're off the cuff. I think you are with the majority of us that says absolutely, yeah. You just don't need that at this point. His talent level is not, you know, it doesn't replace what he's going to do off the field and then the tensions he's going to throw even on the field on the sidelines. It doesn't warrant it is the word I was looking for. So I totally agree. And what I've heard, I believe it's Allen Hurns that went to Dallas in the offseason. And they said that if he's healthy, they said that he has really been the number one receiver out there in camp for them. So maybe if you get somebody like them that can help you with that, it helps them. But Dak is not somebody, if you watch him, he's not somebody that focuses on getting the ball to one guy. And when you have some of these number one wide receivers, they want to be just that guy. So I don't think for right now for him, that's what he needs. He needs some guys that are going to be selfless, that are going to be, you know, a part of the team and just be willing to get what they get as long as the team wins. And that's not Dick, that's not Dez Bryant. Never has been and definitely isn't at this stage of his career. So I agree with you. I think that, you know, you get rid of him, and now, you know, there's a loss in Jason Witten, but Jason Witten was about 85 years old anyway. Now you say, okay, Dak, this is your team. The old guard is gone on here on offense. You can probably tap on Jason Witten and get some advice if you need to. But we got the headache out of, you know, the thorn in your side, and Dez out the way. This is your team. Regardless of what Zeke is doing, you're the quarterback. This is your team. We're going to get targets around you that fits your mode, that won't complain about whether or not they get 10 or 5 as long as they win this game. I think it's a good move for Dak moving forward.
Yeah, I totally agree with both of you. I mean, yes. And you can see that there's not a lot of market for Dez Bryant as we speak around the league. I mean, he's still a free agent. And so, obviously, I think this is a – they didn't gel in the last 2 years with Prescott at the quarterback position. And a lot of that had to do with Dez Bryant. Like I said, you can see the market for Dez Bryant. It's no one has signed him. And so, obviously, I think the Dallas Cowboys made the right decision and let him go. And I think it's going to even further the development along for Prescott as well. But I think
that's
he's
crazy.
The type of quarterback you want to try to, as best as possible, get him a really good tight end, because I think that's where he likes to go with the football. And so I think if you're the Cowboys, you really want to start seeing who you can get at that tight end position for him in Dallas.
Gotcha. All right, gentlemen. Last thing's happening with your boy Jameis here. And again, it's crazy that he's in the news again. And this is a great question. Is this a make or break season for Jameis? And I'm going to lead off with this one to say again, pretty easy to say yes. And right now, Jameis is teetering on that line, man, as far as just, you know, his activity.
Habitual line.
He's a habitual line. A lot of talent, but, you know, if you don't win, I mean, that's a huge situation. I mean, I don't care how many speeches you have on the sidelines and how much of a emotional leader you are, you got to start producing. And you know, Dirk Cutter's job's on the line, you know, from what – you know, that's me just, you know, guesstimating too. But right now, it hasn't been a good situation with Tampa Bay. So, this is interesting to say the least, man. And I think this is definitely a make-or-break season. What say you about this, Rob?
Well, I totally agree, and, you know, I know last few years JQ has been predicting Tampa to win a division, and I've even been saying that they're a team to watch in the NFC South this year, but this has got to be a major setback for the organization here, and we got to realize here, you still got Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and you have Cam Newton as quarterbacks in the NFC South. So, obviously, where does that put Jameis Winston with those other three guys? And so, I think it's definitely a make-or-break season. He has to he has to catapult himself into that category with those other three quarterbacks in the division in order for this team to be successful. And obviously this is a setback, and I think it's going to really hurt the team this year too. Three games is a lot in the NFL. And I mean, I don't even know who the backup is. I can't even remember who the backup for Tampa Bay is. And who is it, Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Ryan, yep.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he's a serviceable quarterback. But like I said, in that division, you have Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton. And so he really has to put himself into that category in order for this team to be successful. And I definitely think this is a make-or-break season. I think he definitely has to get this team in the playoffs. I don't think Tampa cuts him at the end of this year, but I think they're definitely looking at that quarterback position.
Ooh. Yes and no. I don't think they'll be that drastic this year, because I think what they're going to talk themselves into is that he's young and he made another young mistake. But you're also talking about somebody that got in trouble for, I believe, shooting at apartments with a BB gun in Tallahassee. He was stealing, you know, coke out of the ketchup cups at the Burger King. The crab legs, like this is somebody that's just made a lot of dumb, youthful mistakes, and you know, and it's still not cool to grope the Uber driver. I mean, you know, you just can't do that. And when you look at it, somebody
keep in mind this incident happened a few years ago too. So
it
that's,
did.
I mean, he could have matured since then.
Yeah, but it just goes to show when he's the quarterback of the team, he's the most important part really of that team, and you have to make sound decisions, and he keeps having a history of making poor decisions. So when you look at that, at some point you have to cut off that he's young. He's still a grown man in this world, and he knows right from wrong. So I agree that it's a make-or-break season, but the thing that gives me pause is they're going to say what you just said. He was young when he did these things. We're going to give himself a chance to mature, and now we're behind the eight ball. Can we really judge him if we go 1-2 or 0-3 to start the season in this division? How realistic is it for us to make the playoffs and or win this division? So I can see them talking themselves into, let's give him another full year in 2019 and say, okay, you got all 16 games. This is your make-or-break year. So I'm going to say that it's important, but it's not make-or-break, and it's silly to say it because of the suspension of his own doing. But I can just see them saying he was useful. We're going to give him another shot. It's hard to come by franchise quarterbacks. We think he has the potential. He's shown us flashes. Let's stay the course with him, give him a full year where he's not behind the eight ball coming in week four and see what happens. So it's important, but not make-or-break.
Yeah, you saw some progress toward the end of last year, too. So, obviously, if you're Tampa Bay, you were hoping that would carry into game this year, too.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just tough, guys.
I just see
him
doing that.
Yeah, and not to cut you off, JQ. It's just tough, man, because here you have a guy supposed to be like the leader of your team, right? He's the leader of your franchise, you know? So you can't be doing stuff like that, man. That's the thing that's just, you know, you talk about, you know, you making progress, but, you know, it's more than just sitting there. You know, you can't, it doesn't matter how many years ago, you're the leader of the franchise, bro. I mean, you got to mature at some point. I mean, you know, not stupid stuff, but this has been he's been an habitual line stepper, as Rob said.
Reoccurring thing.
You got to grow, man. And this is not good, man. So yeah, if you're not winning and you're not doing the next things that I mean, you know, this is a problem, man. So again, this is clearly a season for Jameis, man. So we'll see. Talk about that. All right. Bill Belichick. I know we're going to talk about JQ's favorite team here. Will he outlast Tom Brady in New England? JQ.
You know what? The reason why I say yes, I think he's getting to the end of it. And the reason why I'm going to sat on and say yes, because I just don't think for one Tom Brady's going to play until he's 45. I think that's just pie in the sky. He's going to have diminishing returns. And we talk about this latest flop that they've had. You know, Bill Belichick is wanting to get rid of an old guy, you know, sooner rather than later. And he lost that power struggle. But I think a piece of him wants to prove that I am still that guy. I can win without Tom Brady. If he's able to find a quarterback that he likes that he can keep, he couldn't keep Garoppolo. He wanted to. But if he finds him another Garoppolo and says, okay, I got a guy that I can turn this over in a couple of years with Josh McDaniels, but I want a Super Bowl ring that is not attached to me and Tom Brady, to where it's me, where everybody says, oh, you know, look at Bill Belichick. He was able to keep his success going even after Tom Brady retired. I don't think it's going to be a long time after Tom Brady retires, but if he can get to that pinnacle again and win it without Tom Brady, I think that's what he ultimately wants to do. He may not say it out loud, But he wants to prove that, you know, I'm still the guy that came up with the Patriot way and the architect that put all these things together. You know, Tom Brady was also really good because of me. You know, and while they mutually benefited, I can see Belichick saying, you know what, I'm going to show the world that I can do this without Tom Brady. So I'm going to say yes. Mm-hmm. I think he outlasts him. I think he stays till he either sets them in the right position to move forward with another young QB and or wins a Super Bowl with that young QB after Tom Brady is gone.
Yeah, I totally agree. I definitely think. And I think you're starting to see, even though Tom Brady's still playing at a pretty high level, I think you're starting to see his love for the football, love for football starting to wane a little bit. And I think, you know, as far as wife and kids and things of that nature, I think you're only going to see Tom Brady play another 2 years. I think he's getting to that level to whereas I think he's going to want to hang it up and spend time with family and things of that nature. So I think the 45 talk is going to quiet down. I think he plays another 2-3 years max. So I definitely think Bill Belichick outlasts him in New England and continues to build upon this organization that he has built, since he's been in New England since the early 2000s.
You're retiring. I said, keep it going.
That dude is 2 days younger than me, and Tom Brady. And I hate that we're that close in age. He's a Leo like me, born August 13, 1977. I hate that. Like, this joker is, God dog it, is the same age as I am. But he's going to be 41 as this season starts. So that's what I'm saying. You know, we marvel what he's able to do. We can hate him, but you got to respect what he does. But at some point, you know, he's going to fall off the cliff, and it's coming sooner rather than later. I agree with you, Rob. I don't think it's three, though. I think it's two. I think we see this year, we start to see it go down a little bit. And then that second year we talked about, it's like, okay, now it's time for him to move on. And he, like you said, the kids and the supermodel wife and everything that he can do whatever he wants, really, outside of football when it's over. You know, he can go in the booth. He can probably try to be an owner of a team. He could be a GM or assistant GM or in the front office. He can, you know, the sky's the limit for him football-wise, off the field, and in other endeavors. So I don't 45, I just don't see it. I agree with you. It's hard to keep taking those hits when you already got 5 rings and you got a bomb chick at the house waiting on you. It's like, why am I doing this to myself? I got all the money. I got all the accolades. I got the MVPs. Man, I'm done.
Yep. Good call. 100%. I agree with both you guys on that. All right. Let's talk about this here. Again, we are on our last topic here, and the last topic is we're going to preview the 2019 NFL draft here. And, Rob, again, want to appreciate you. And I'm actually going to send that out to you this week, guys. I've got that literally, Rob, if I've told you, like as I've been saying, I found an old draft of yours, and just whenever we were first doing this, man, and it's crazy to hear. To see actually what happened, and I'm going to send that out to you because it's not able to be emailed. I got to, like, scan it in, man. But appreciate you doing that. And, yeah, 2019, let's talk about this, bro. So, Rob, set it up, bro.
Yeah, it's an early look into next year's NFL draft and also an early look into this year's college football season to our listeners, you know, some players to really look at going into this college football season. And number one here, you know, start with Jake Hughes' favorite team, Michigan, Shea Patterson, at the quarterback position. He's right there in the mix for being, either number one or top five pick in this year's draft. Obviously, he's going to get to play, under Jim Harbaugh, our former NFL quarterback. We'll see if that enhances his development and get him ready to the NFL. And obviously, this has been a big sore spot for Michigan, not having a legitimate quarterback since Harbaugh's been there. What'd you say, Andre?
I was going to say real quick, Shay's been talking a lot of junk about beating Ohio State, too, man. So that's going to be fun, man. So just FYI about
is
that,
he?
Too. So.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. But
I'm just joking. I'm just messing with you.
That's all good. Oh, I was going to say, let me go look that up right now so I can get my hatred all the time high.
I was just messing with you. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's going to be really interesting to see how his development comes along under Jim Harbaugh, but he's definitely in the mix for that top spot going into next season. Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, is going to be his junior year next year from Houston. A little small for defensive tackle, but he's got extremely great quickness and strength. And, he's one of that perfect three technique from the defensive tackle that he can be a really good pass rusher from the defensive tackle spot as well. So he's about 290 pounds. but he's really quick and can get to the quarterback and get in the backfield, stop the run as well. So he's going to be right there in the mix. It's, if you look at the top of this early look at 2019, you can see his defensive line heavy. And going to the next one here, defensive end Nick Bosa, who JQ can talk a lot about as well, at the number three spot as of right now, going into next year. And then look at these next two players, both from Clemson, defense tackles, Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence. Clemson has the opportunity to put the best defense in the country on the field next season. All four of their starting defensive linemen I have going in the first-round pick in the draft next year. You know, it starts with those two guys in the middle. He's going to be hard-pressed to run the football against this team next year. And you look at one of the great pass rushers they have on their team, Austin Bryan. I have him going number 30 from Clemson as well. And then I have the other defensive end, Clelin Ferrell, going number 13. So that's four of their all four of their starting defensive linemen going in the first round if this holds true going into next season. Then you got a couple of players on the back end of the defense, Trayvon Mullen, cornerback, have him going number 29. And then also I have the linebacker as well. Trey Lamar, have him going number 27 as well. So you're talking about six players off their defense that have a chance to be first-round picks next season. So this defense is extremely talented, and you know they're going to be right there in the mix again for getting back to the Final Four in college football and getting back to the playoffs, especially if they just have a serviceable offense. Their defense will be really outstanding this coming season. Drew Locke will be the next quarterback that I have. I'm going number six, Missouri. Obviously, tremendous arm talent with Drew Locke. Can really improve his accuracy a little bit more. So we'll see. I think that was probably a good thing that he came back to school for this year. He's really got a chance to improve. And he could also be the number one quarterback in this draft, too. So he's going to be really there in the mix as well as that number one spot at the quarterback position as well. From an offensive tackle standpoint, three guys you want to look at. David Edwards, Wisconsin. It seems like they always put out good offensive linemen. Greg Little from Ole Miss. And Trey Adams. I tell you what, Trey Adams didn't get hurt last year. He really could have been a top 10 pick in this year's draft, offensive tackle from Washington. So he's another guy. We have to see how he comes back from injury. But those are three guys from an offensive tackle standpoint, which is a very key position in football to look at there. Joe Jackson, pass rusher from Miami. I have him going number eight. He's got extremely good length, which we really look for from that defensive end position. I think he's got somewhere between 14 to 16 sacks in his last 2 years in college football. So, yeah, he'll be right there in the mix as well. Michael Pinckney, also a guy from Miami, outside linebacker as well. Another player from JQ's best team. A favorite team, I should say, Rashawn Gary, defensive tackle from Michigan. Have him there in the mix. Rockwan Davis, you saw him play an outstanding game in the national championship game from Alabama. Also one of those defensive linemen that can be a mixture, defensive end, defensive tackle. Justin Herbert, quarterback from Oregon, the guy that really came on last eight games of the season. So we'll kind of see how his progression goes going into next season. He's a guy that's definitely on the up and up. And then Greedy Williams, cornerback from LSU.
Greedy Williams.
Greedy Williams. He's greedy for that football. He gets those interceptions, I'll tell you that. So Greedy Williams, cornerback. He's lean, got good length as well. Jarrett Stenham, quarterback from Auburn, another guy that really came on last season as well. A.J. Brown is another sleeper that can possibly move into the top 10 at the wide receiver position. 6'1", great speed, can be a really good weapon this year for Ole Miss and transitioning to the NFL. Devin White, got another guy, linebacker from LSU, who has a chance to be a tremendous middle linebacker on the NFL level. And then DeAndre Baker, another great cornerback from Georgia, really helped him last year as well. He'll be right there in the mix. And just some other players I'll move down to highlight. Obviously, got Bryce Love here in the mix, running back from Stanford. Have him number 34. And then also offensive guard from Wisconsin, number 35. You know, you can't go wrong with offensive lineman from Wisconsin. Bo Benchawal, you know, offensive guard from Wisconsin.
I
have him at the number 35 position. Deebo Samuel, wide receiver from South Carolina, is another guy to watch at the 39 position. And then also Stanley Morgan Jr., wide receiver from Nebraska. Another guy is about 6'4", good size. He can be a sleeper. And another guy passed on, Rodney Anderson, running back from Oklahoma, who really had a good game against Georgia in the playoffs there. So he's my highest rated running back at the moment.
Nice.
Woo! Come on. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And this hurts me to look at this because I know Shea Patterson, and, you know, he was actually a stud at Ole Miss. He just got hit with the sanctions. I hated that he chose Michigan. You almost made me get my Agent Orange up talking about he was talking junk. I was ready to get on Google and start looking it up like, what? So don't do that to me. Ed Oliver is a case that I hate about the NCAA. It's because, you know, he got talked into, you know, my boy from Ohio State going there and then moving on to Texas, but having to stay there at Houston at a smaller program. I think if he was at a bigger program, he would get so much more love nationally. Ed Oliver is an absolute monster in the middle of the defense. I really love his game.
He's a five-star recruit out of high school, too.
Yeah, he's a monster. And I get a lot of flack from the Clemson fans. Of course, Ohio State hasn't had a ton of success against them there. They're recently in the college football playoffs, but they're absolutely loaded. And it was really shocking that both of those guys came back. I thought they would turn pro this last year. But, you know, this is a credit to Dabo Swinney, what he's doing and building. They, you know, were willing to pull off the riches to come back to school and still be poor and just for that pursuit of the love of college football and try to win a championship. So I can't really knock that. I really think Drew Locke has a chance to move up and rival Shea Patterson. I agree with you. He just doesn't have a lot of help around him on the defensive side of the ball in Missouri, but Duke can just flat out throw the ball. He's the only reason that Missouri is in any of the games is because of that. And I know I sound a homer, but Nick Bosa, I know a lot of people don't necessarily watch a whole lot of Ohio State football. He is as good or maybe a tad bit better than his brother Joey is. And Joey is a stud, and San Diego is loving what they're getting out of Joey Bosa. Nick Bosa, I think, is going to be just as good, if not better, than his brother. As I move through this, you know, the one that stuck out to me was Bryce Love. If he can stay healthy, that dude is electric. And I don't know if he can have a Saquon Barkley kind of year this year for Stanford, but if he can stay healthy, he might be able to touch that. I really do like him a lot. He just, you know, he's out there at Stanford in the West Coast. You know, he didn't make it to the Heisman finalist ceremony, but the injuries kind of nicked him up. That ankle really gave him a lot of problems. I also like Justice Hill from Oklahoma State. I think they really underachieved with the talent that they had on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, that's just me looking at that piece of it. I'm not going to talk about, you know, Michigan for real because I'm not talking about them. But, you know, those are just my highlights when I see that on there, the people that stick out to me. I just see Drew Locke and I think Bryce Love as well as two guys that I look at that when we come back to it next year, I think could really move up this list.
Yeah. Yep. The one guy I didn't really say much a whole lot is I have number 23 is Terrell Lewis, defensive end slash outside linebacker from Alabama. You're talking about a guy that got injured for Alabama early in the season and missed the whole year. But you're talking about a guy who has a chance to be a tremendous pass rusher. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he comes back from missing the whole season as well. So he's another player that's to watch, you know. No pun intended. I know he's got the same first name as Terrell Suggs, but he had the potential to be that kind of player as well. So let's see how he comes back from that injury, too.
Nice. Good call. Greedy Williams, not to be confused. Ball Hawk Johnson as well is going to be ready for y'all, too, as well. So keep us going here. But, no, I'm just messing. But no, that's
Greedy Williams.
Greedy Williams. Greedy Williams, man. Come on,
LSU. Shea Patterson from Louisiana. He goes to Ole Miss, then he goes to Michigan. What's up with that?
Yeah, y'all would have problems with quarterback, man. It's back in the day.
Yeah. Hey,
so.
you might have one, though. Even Joe Burrows, you might have one. That dude is a good pocket passer.
Yeah. Good job, man, on the draft, too. Man, like I said, I'm just tripping out on all the Clemson players, all the talent. I love the Ed Oliver pick, like you talked about, man. And, you know, again, we'll see. Again, it's all about the quarterbacks, right? You know, Shea Patterson, we talked about it. You know, obviously Drew Locke. we want to see how that season progresses and see where they are, man, because, again, that's going to be the kind of how the draft, the ebb and flow, if you will, of how that's happening too. So, gentlemen, as always, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys for this Talking Sports. And let's wrap this up, Rob, and as we get ready for the next show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly appreciate everyone for tuning in to another night of Talking Sports to the 12th Man. We'll be right back at you on Sunday night on next week. I believe that is July 1st. It'll be the first day of July, which means we know what that means, right? The NBA free agency.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll have some news that we'll be able to break on the show. Obviously, they won't be able to sign with teams, but they can make commitments to teams as early as July 1st, which will be on next Sunday. So hopefully we have some major breaking news on that front in the NBA, as the way they've been handing out money in free agency the last few years have been flat out ridiculous. And
yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see if we have some news that we can break. So you don't want to miss our show on next Sunday night. We should have a lot to cover as we get ready to launch the NBA offseason in full swing. And getting closer and closer, obviously, to hearing those pads, training camps and college football and the NFL. So we're slowly getting you ready for football season as well. And then, of course, we're getting closer to Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which JQ makes an annual appearance. So we'll have that ready to start talking about that here in a few weeks as well.
I'm going to be like JQ when I grow up, just hanging out at All-Star Games, man. That's my goal.
I didn't go to the game. I go to the atmosphere and the party. I go to the red carpet and all the other stuff. Then I go kick it where it's not $300 a ticket to get in. So I just want that to be known for the record. But, yes.
JQ goes and hangs out with everybody, stars and everything like that. Go ahead.
Stop it. No, I appreciate everybody for listening to the show for sure. Selfish for me, but I'm glad I don't have to work this week. I don't go back to the 4th of July for the Stripers. If you get a chance, come out and check us out on 4th of July. That's the big event for us in the year. Looking forward to seeing what's going to happen this week with these the rumblings, and of course, like you said, on Sunday with the NBA, and hopefully, fingers crossed, that my Reds can help me out a little bit, just a tad bit this week.
Mm-mm.
So I'm sure
Mm-mm.
we'll talk about that next week. All y'all have a good week. Be safe. Holler at you later.
Your voice got pretty high, man. You know you can go up that high like Elder Barge, man.
Not Elder Barge.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to take it back to them days. Oh, man. No, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure as always. We always enjoy talking with you guys, to talk of sports throughout the week again. So have a good week. Keep them going. Like I said, I'll be out of pocket later on in the next week, like I said, for 4th of July, man. That's
no,
you
don't
say. I'll be in Vegas. So, you know, a little bit, but it's going to be fun. I'll try to take some pictures and do some snaps and stuff like that too, man. So it's fun times, man.
Be careful of Viva Las Vegas.
No, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, man. You know, I'm kind of, yeah, we'll talk about it because I can't talk too much about it. But, yeah, it'll be fun, man. So,
yes.
But, yeah. get a chance to hang out.
What happens in Vegas got to stay in Vegas.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. That's why I'm being very selective right now with my words.
Don't put it on
man.
Wax.
It's all good. I know. 100%. But, no, hey, guys, have a good week. Till the next one, man. A lot of love. And be safe, gentlemen, all right? Talk soon.
Absolutely. You too, brother.
Good night, people.
Talk to y'all later.
Yep. All right.